And it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with moderator Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by Kira Pace and Daryl Garrison. This is Local Public Radio, KALW. And it's got to be our moderator, Mr. Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damian. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a nice Saturday morning. We are going to be doing it on the phone for at least the first part of the show because of problems with Zoom. So I hope you can hear us all right. If you can't, please tell us. But we have plenty of good questions for you, and I'm sure we will entertain you for an hour or so. Just to remind you, we have two different numbers. That's the first is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. Also want to remind you, you can email us. We prefer to talk to you in person, but you can email us. And that address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. You can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And, of course, you can listen to the podcast, which will be up at kalw.org later on today and many other places. But start with KLW. That would be appreciated. Again, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. We will do our best with the sound today. As I said, Zoom is down, but we will do our best. I think we'll dispense with the intros today. And... Maybe we should do it because Kira Pace wished me a happy birthday week. So that seems like a logical first intro. So, all right, then. Thank you, Kira. So happy birthday to me this week. And let's see, where was I here? And Kira is going to be reading. Yes, Kira's going to be reading Daryl's, isn't she? I think she is. Hi.
This is Eid.
Oh, hi, Eid. No. Hi. Oh, all right, Eid, go ahead.
Are you taking a call? Yeah, go ahead. Hi.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk about all of this nuclear threat that's happening every day. What is the first atom bomb dropped on Hiroshima made of? What element was it? So I'll give you a choice. Uranium? 235 or plutonium 239?
Well, I thought it had both of those in it, but...
Well, yes. No, you're quite right. No. Okay. Hiroshima was uranium 235. Nagasaki was plutonium 239. Yes, yes. Uh-huh. And they're very explosive, and they killed a lot of people. So when we talk about that enrichment, so most of uranium come in nature as uranium 238. So in order to be fissionable, we have to change it to 235. For peaceful use, like reactors, which is my field, how much percentage of uranium-235 have to be enriched to uranium-239? How much more uranium-235?
Let's say
around 6%, very low. How about in order to make it for nuclear reactors? And I'm sorry, nuclear bombs, how much of enrichment have to be? I'll give you a choice. 30%, 60%, or 90%? Time is short. Give me the answer. 90%. And Iran is very far away from achieving that. Okay, very quick. Yeah, very quick. Let's talk about stars now. The closest star to our sun is Alpha Centauri. It's a group of stars. The closest one to the sun actually is called Proxima Centauri. And that may have a planet very similar to Earth, by the way. It may have life. So it is 4.18 light years away from Earth. If you would drive your car nonstop, going 60 miles an hour, gas-free, so you don't have to put any more gas, how many years it would take you to go up our nearest star, Proxima Centauri? How many years? I'll give you a choice. 1 year, 4 years, or 10 years?
I'll say 10.
Okay, it's 4.18 years. I'm really sorry. That's how long it take you, it takes light to go there. You know how many years? Let me give you another choice. I made a mistake, sorry. Okay, so it would take you 10 years, 5 million years, or 55 million years. This is the nearest star to us, remember. Nearest possible planet to us. So how long? 10 million years, 20 million years, or 55 million years?
The nearest star to
us. Go ahead. Right. 55 million years. And that is the nearest star. Correction last time. Oklahoma City University is in Stillwater, but University of Oklahoma is not in Oklahoma City, like I said. It's in Norman, Oklahoma. And I have a great campus. It's great. What is the word Oklahoma means, by the way? What is the word Oklahoma? The city of Oklahoma, what Oklahoma means as a name? What does it mean?
It's a Native American name. It's
Let me do it. Okay. The home of the red man. So Oklahoma means.
Right.
The home of the red man. All is show. And everybody, please donate to KLAW. We need it more than ever. Please, let's keep the war from happening, which in my feeling is it may happen sooner than we think. Have a good day. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. We're having our difficulties today, but we can take calls. So if you do want to call or send an email, we can have you on the show. Let me give you a couple of questions here, and then we can move this along. So, movie question. John Wayne made two films in which his character's first and last name were in the title. So only two films did John Wayne make in which his first and last character names were in the title. So what are those?
I know.
And some of you are familiar with what UNESCO is. UNESCO is the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. So what were the first UNESCO World Heritage Sites in the United States? There are three of them, and they're all human-built buildings as opposed to dog-built. They are, again, what were the first UNESCO World Heritage Sites in the United States? All three of them are man-made buildings. All right. So, again, John Wayne made two films in which his character's first and last names were in the title of the film. And the first three UNESCO World Heritage Sites in the United States are all, the three that are all buildings. So, see if you can tell me what that is. And we'll start with that. And, of course, you have a question of your own. That's just fine. All right, so we are waiting for your calls out there. And again, those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Since Kira's and Daryl are there, I'll start with Kira. If she wants to do a couple questions, go right ahead.
Sure.
Kira?
All right. I am going to give you the names of some sports teams, and I want you to tell me what movie or television show these teams are from. So I have a list of seven sets of teams. The first team, or the first set, is The Monsters and the Toon Squad. The Monsters and the Toon Squad. Number two is the East Compton Clovers and the Rancho Carne Toros. Again, that is the East Compton Clovers and the Rancho Carne Toros. Number three is Globo Gym Purple Cobras and Average Joes. Again, that is Globo Gym Purple Cobras and Average Joes. Number four is the Miami Sharks and the Albuquerque Aztecs. The Miami Sharks and the Albuquerque Aztecs. Number five is the University of Louisiana Cougars and South Central Louisiana State University Mud Dogs. Again, that is the University of Louisiana Cougars and South Central Louisiana State University Mud Dogs. Number six is Arlen High School Armadillos and the Tom Landry Middle School Longhorns. Again, the Arlen High School Armadillos and the Tom Landry Middle School Longhorns. And finally, the Atomic Supermen and the New York Mets. The Atomic Supermen and the New York Mets.
So, now, since I just joined you on Zoom, Kira, I'm sorry, I may have missed the first part of your question. So give me the premise of it once more.
Sure. These are sports teams. You tell me what where they're from.
Movies, I have
television shows. So you can each have one and a half, so total of three. So distribute those any way you prefer. And again, they are The Monsters and the Toon Squad. That is the first property, The Monster and the Toon Squad. Number two is the East Compton Clovers and the Rancho Carne Toros. Number three is Globo Gym Purple Cobras and Average Joes. Number four is the Miami Sharks and the Albuquerque Aztecs. Number five is the University of Louisiana Cougars and South Central Louisiana State University Mud Dogs. Number six is Arlen High School Armadillos and the Tom Landry Middle School Longhorns. And finally, number seven, the Atomic Supermen and the New York Mets. Those are all from movies and television shows. So again, 1.5 each.
All right, I think Daryl is more likely to know some of these than me. But
and you can hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so I know that the Average Joes, that's from Dodgeball.
Yes, Globo Gym Purple Cobras and Average Joes are from Dodgeball, a true underdog story.
And I want to do a tough one, if I remember right. I think the Sharks, is that the Al Pacino film, Any Given Sunday?
The Miami Sharks, yes. Miami and the Albuquerque, yes. So that is Any Given Sunday.
That's a toughie. All right, there you go.
I think I know one because it's from a fine film that I saw many years ago. I think the Rancho Carne High School one is from Bring It On.
Yes, and the East Compton Clovers, yes. From whom the Rancho Carne Toros got their moves.
All right, so what do we have left now?
So what we have left for the audience, call in if you know them, we have the Monsters and the Toon Squad. We have the University of Louisiana Cougars and South Central Louisiana State University Mud Dogs. We have Arlen High School Armadillos and the Tom Landry Middle School Longhorns. And we have the Atomic Supermen and the New York Mets.
I'm just going to quickly tell you that you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Sorry we had some trouble with Zoom, but we are back on now, so it should be okay. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. You can join us via email. And that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one at gmail.com. I will say Kira's introduction was happy birthday to me. So thank you very much for that. And now I will give Kira a chance to read Daryl's if she hasn't touched it.
Daryl Garrison doesn't cheat at golf, doesn't grift America, and never met Epstein, but he does like real cane sugar in Coca-Cola, so there's that.
All right. Yeah. And then I'll give Daryl a chance to read mine.
Yeah, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, imagines that under this administration, the name will be changed to the Bureau of Laboriously Doctored Statistics.
All right. And that is us. And I think we can go to Daryl now.
All right. I'm going to give you the names of songs that won the Oscar for Best Original Song, and you name the movie. It will be in chronological order starting in the 70s. And I have one, two, three, four, five of them.
Okay, I'm waiting for It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp, Daryl. So,
all right. Well, the first one is Theme from Shaft. That, just kidding. That's a joke. All right. The first one, We May Never Love Like This Again. The next one, Say You, Say Me. The next one, When You Believe. The fourth one, El Otro Lado del Rio. And the final one, Writings on the Wall. We May Never Love Like This Again. Say You, Say Me. When You Believe, El Otro Lado del Rio. And Writings on the Wall.
So these are all starting in the 70s, right? Is that what you said?
Starts in the 70s, moving forward chronologically from there.
Are there any that are in this century, so to speak?
Yes, yes.
All right. Give those once more if you
sure. mind. Sure. We May Never Love Like This Again. Say You, Say Me. When You Believe. El Otro Lado del Rio. Writings on the Wall.
I think, because I saw the movie, We May Never Love Like This Again is from Towering Inferno.
It is. Maureen McGovern, Towering Inferno. Yeah. Yeah.
Kira, do you want to try any of these?
Oh, I know Say You, Say Me, and it's just, it's not coming to me.
Well, that's from the...
It's not The Woman in Red. That was I Just Called to Say I Love You.
Right. Those are easily mixed up. Right.
Yeah. It's something like An Officer and a Gentleman.
No.
No, that's Up Where We Belong.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No, Say You, Say Me. It's like, it's from, it's not a heist movie. It's from like a crime movie though, right?
No. I know. From the one with Baryshnikov.
Yes.
White Nights?
Yeah. White Nights, written by Lionel Richie. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good job. And what else is on there? I'm sorry, just once more.
Sure. When You Believe,
when you
El believe. Otro Lado del Rio, Writings on the Wall.
So is the one in Spanish, is that the only Spanish one that's ever won? Or do you
Yes.
know?
Yes, it is. I believe so.
Huh. Okay. Well, I don't know it anyway. all right. Okay. Leave that out. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to do my questions again because I did them on the phone before. So might as well do, I'll just clarify them. And I'll give you each one guess on them, especially the movie one, Daryl. So John Wayne made two films in which his character's first and last names were in the title of the film.
Yeah.
Do you want to give me one, Daryl?
Yeah, Rooster Cogburn.
Okay, Rooster Cogburn is correct. There's one other on that list.
Is it The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance?
No, because that's okay. not his character. He did shoot Liberty Valance, but it's not a, I need a first and last name kind of thing. And Liberty Valance was the one that was shot, so yeah. not John. Right. The first United Nations, the first three UNESCO, United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, World Heritage sites in the U.S. were buildings. So what three buildings are they? Give you each one guess on that. What three buildings are the first UNESCO World Heritage Sites in the U.S.?
The Alamo?
Not the Alamo. But you're kind of on the right track.
Mm. All right, how about Independence Hall?
Independence That's Hall right. is one of them.
All right, I thought the perfect. Statue of Liberty was one of the early ones.
It is one of the early ones.
Are we counting that as a building?
Yeah, well, it's a building.
Okay.
I mean, it's built. It's a structure.
Okay.
And there's one left on that list. Okay, so you made quick work of that. I'll give you one more question here. What five countries are expected to contribute more than 60% of the world's population growth by the year 2100? This is according to the Pew Research Center. What five countries are expected to contribute more than 60% of the world's population growth by the year 2100?
So not Vatican City.
Right, correct. Not so far, anyway.
How about Mexico?
Not Mexico.
Hmm.
I think India still has a positive rate. What about India?
No, that's going to level off, apparently, at some point. But so these are... Yeah, these are the not the usual suspects. So what five countries in the world are expected to contribute more than 60% of the world's population growth by the year 2100?
How about Brazil?
Not Brazil.
Wow.
And I'll still go with most populous in Africa. Let's try Nigeria.
Nigeria is one of them.
Okay. Wow.
There you go. Yes. Going strong. Okay, leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, your volume's a little low. I mean, it sounds fine, but now it just went down. Let's move along. So since you mentioned Hiroshima already, I'm going to beat Eve to this, and he can call in and correct me. How much uranium was necessary for the Hiroshima bomb?
Like 8 ounces or grams, sorry, like 8 grams.
Yeah, or something like that, right. So I was trying to think of a way of, when I heard it described to me, it was like, okay, less than a cigarette filter to give you an idea of how little uranium was necessary. Just to give you a thing on that. So let me ask you a question. The person who founded Standard Oil, what was his middle name?
Well, it's Rockefeller. I think it was Nelson Aldrich too. I don't know. Are you thinking about Rockefeller? Or?
I am thinking. So what was his first name?
John D.
Now, usually you hear. You hear the full name and you'll recognize it.
Of Rockefeller?
Yeah. What's
John
his
D.
name?
John.
That's
Davis.
Right.
John so, Davis.
Who's D?
Davison
what's
or
the?
Something like that.
Yeah. What is it?
John. It's John D. Rockefeller.
John Davidson.
All right.
Okay.
That was his mother's maiden name, John Davidson. So, of course, he founded Standard Oil, which was also called ESSO. Remember that? ESSO? Before they changed it to what?
Exxon?
That's right. Do you remember when they were going to change their name from ESSO to Exxon, they wanted to make sure that that they weren't insulting some culture or whatever. They searched the world for, and they found only one other the language had two X's in a row, E-X-X-O-N. And they did the name Exxon. They made sure it wouldn't be an insult or whatever. What language has two X's in a row as part of their language?
Mandarin? Mandarin?
No.
You mean the two X's in a row are part of their standard alphabet? In other words, it's
just in their language. In their language, they have words that have two X's in a row.
No.
Any ideas, Kira?
No, I'm just trying to think of languages that have X's in general. Aztec is spelled, it's transliterated with X's, but I don't think I've ever seen two in a row. Is it going to be an Eastern or Southern European country?
Say it again, Southern European.
Eastern or Southern European
what's that?
Country. Will it be Eastern or Southern European, the country that, whose language you're talking about?
You have to go beyond Southern European. It's a very awkward country because it's in the crossroads.
Okay, so does that mean it's like transcontinental? We're like somewhere between Asia and Europe?
Well, that's an interesting idea.
I know
like the Turkish?
Polish uses double X's occasionally in names.
Go south of Europe and north of Africa.
All right, so Turkey.
No.
Afghanistan?
In the middle of the it's in the middle of the Mediterranean.
Malta.
Yes, the Maltese language has two X's in a row, you know, which is, of course, it's very different. It's a strange culture because it's at the crossroads of Arabic and, I guess, Latin at the time. You know, anyway, two X's in a row. And apparently Exxon isn't a swear in their language, and they accepted it. But anyway, just a little fun fact, two X's in a row only in Maltese. If you know nothing about the Maltesian language, you know that.
All right, okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, just so we have a couple of emails here. Christina says that Al Otro Lado del Rio is from Motorcycle Diaries.
Yeah, it is. And it was written and performed by Jorge Drexler from Uruguay. But the Academy, in their infinite wisdom, said that he wasn't famous enough, so they wouldn't let him perform it. So Antonio Banderas performed it on the Oscars.
Oh, okay. And let's see. Elise says Tom Landry Middle School is King of the Hill.
Elise is correct.
There we go. Good job. And Chris says Monsters... what was the one that, did you have Monsters Toon Squad? It was Space Jam.
Who was that?
Chris.
Chris. Chris is correct. That is from Space Jam.
Okay. All right. I wanted to get that right. Excuse me. And Rita and Peter both had John Wayne and Rooster Cogburn. Good job. Good job on that. Okay. All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi, Rita.
Hi. I called last week and asked about European countries' reliance on foreign-trained doctors, which countries had the most. Today, I want to ask which two countries have the least?
The least reliance on...
doctors who were trained outside of that country.
Which two European countries?
Yes, which two European countries?
Oh, I wish I were here for the other side of that question, so I knew which five not to pick. Let's see,
How about Denmark?
That's good.
No, none of the Scandinavian countries.
Germany?
No.
So
and I'm trying to think of a clue for a couple of for these two, and I'm kind of drawing a blank. They don't have anything in common that I'm seeing or can think of.
One is Southern Europe. Do you remember the five from last week? I was not on last week, so I did not get to hear those answers.
I know that Ireland was one of them. I'm sorry, I don't remember the other two.
Okay. How about Eastern Europe? It seems like they might have fewer foreign doctors. Are these any of these countries in Eastern Europe?
One is Central Europe.
I was going to say
Greece.
I'm sorry, you said Greece?
I did.
No, but that's getting a little closer.
Armenia?
No.
How about, say, Poland and Romania and Bulgaria area? Anything of those?
No, one of them is Lithuania.
Lithuania, all right.
And so there's another one that's a pretty prominent European country. We often think of it in terms of cuisine.
Yeah, France?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, Italy, then.
Yes, it is Italy. And both of them, only 1% of their physicians have been trained outside of that country.
Hmm. All right, so, well, why don't you fill in the rest for us?
It's Italy and Lithuania.
That's it, Dana.
Those two.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Just those two. Yeah. I have a completely different question, and this has to do with the passwords that we use on regularly use. Somebody analyzed, I think it was a few billion. What's the most common password people use?
Well, there's the numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, and et cetera, et cetera. And then
you are absolutely right. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Right.
And of the 25 most common passwords that are used, 4 of them contain a letter sequence that isn't a word. What is it?
You mean like A, B, C, D?
Yes. That's something like that, but what is it?
Well, like, are they sort of like the X-Files Trust No One, where it's N-O-1?
No, this is a sequence of letters that is not a word.
Sequence of letters.
Think about the keyboard.
Oh, so QWERTY, Q-W-E-R-T-Y.
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
I know that the word password is one of the most common passwords.
As a matter of fact, it is. And of the 25 most common, only eight contain actual words, and password is among them. There are two contain animals. One's a fictional animal, the other one's a real one.
I'm pretty sure that monkey is one, because this has come up before. And
fictional animal?
Yeah.
Like dragon?
Yeah,
there you go.
Yes, it's right. Dragon. Dragon and monkey both turn up. Right. Okay, well, thank you so much. Really love listening to the show. Yes. Change your passwords if it's one of those. All right, thank you.
Thank you very Bye-bye. Much. Appreciate it. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Sorry for the earlier kerfuffle with the Zoom, but we're back on now. And we are welcoming your calls. Feel free to give us a call, 415-841-4134, or toll free, 866-798-8255. And we are a little past halfway, so let's quickly repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Kira, start with you.
I have two more properties with sports teams. The first is University of Louisiana Cougars and South Central Louisiana State University Mud Dogs. And the second is the Atomic Supermen and the New York Mets.
And these can be...
movies or TV.
Movies or TV. Okay, fine. And Daryl.
And two songs that won the Oscar for Best Original Song, named the movie, When You Believe and Writings on the Wall.
And these are all past the 1970s, as you said.
Yes.
Okay. And John Wayne made two films in which his characters' first and last names were in the title of the film. So far we have Rooster Cogburn, that's the later one. There is one that's earlier. What is that? What five countries are expected to contribute more than 60% of the world's population growth by the year 2100? This is from the Pew Research Center. So far, we have Nigeria. What are the other countries on that list? And where am I here? Yes, the first three UNESCO World Heritage sites that were in the United States were buildings. So far, we have the Statue of Liberty and Independence Hall. What is the third one on that list? Very much still in evidence. So see what you can do with that. And in the meantime, Kira, I believe it's your turn again.
Okay. I have a set of questions for you on the subject of Edward Gorey. Mm-hmm. For what musical did Edward Gorey win his Tony Award for Best Costume Design? Also, among the many authors for whom Edward Gorey provided illustrations was what writer of The House with the Clock in Its Walls? Next, where is Gorey Mansion? Fourth, Gorey was fairly openly asexual. In order from top to bottom, what are the four bars of the Ace Pride flag? Number five, a book subtitled A Pornographic Work by Audrey Weary featured in its title, what namesake piece of furniture? Number six is what is Gorey's middle name? It's the English version of a name of a U.S. territorial capital. And finally, if M is for Maud, who was swept out to sea, then what is N for? So again, what musical did Edward Gorey win his Tony Award for Best Costume Design? Among the many authors for whom Edward Gorey provided illustrations was what writer of The House with the Clock in Its Walls? Where is Gorey Mansion? Gorey was famously openly or fairly openly asexual, and in order from top to bottom, what are the four bars of the Ace Pride flag? A book subtitled A Pornographic Work by Audrey Weary featured in its title, what namesake piece of furniture? What is Edward Gorey's middle name? It is the English version of the name of a U.S. territorial capital. And finally, if M is for Maud, who was swept out to sea, then what is N for?
Daryl, do you have any of these?
I really don't. And I remember that book too. The N would be something wild. Like, I'll take a wild stab at Nesbitt, something like that.
Oh, that's not far off.
I don't know the others.
All right. So I think his house is in Massachusetts.
Well, that's the Elephant House. That is not Gorey
Mansion. Oh, it's not his house. Okay.
Yeah, it's not Gorey Mansion.
All right. Huh. All right. Well, The House with a Clock in Its Walls is, what's that guy's name? John Bellairs?
John Bellairs is correct.
All right. And did he do The Addams Family on Broadway, the musical?
No, or? But that is not far off from what he actually did. Stylistically.
Right.
And well, even subject, sort of. I believe he was also nominated for set design, but won for costume design.
Not Beetlejuice.
No. This would be much back, earlier.
Yeah.
So what was I shouldn't be asking, but the house in Massachusetts, how does that, he just designed that?
That was his home. I believe it was just his house, and it was called the Elephant House. But there is a place called Gorey Mansion. Okay. And I want to know where that is, specifically Gorey Mansion.
Mm. Okay, give it time. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it me?
It is you.
Oh, sweet. So I like Kira's question about the sports teams. I think I know them. The New York Mets, I believe, is Futurama. It's the only place with a New York.
That is correct.
Good job.
Cool. And the Louisiana schools, is that from The Water Boy with the great Adam Sandler?
It is indeed from The Water Boy. Cool. With the excellent Kathy Bates.
He loves him.
Regarding the countries that are going to grow in population by 2100,
right.
If the planet is getting warmer, I think there'll be more habitable land in like Canada or Russia. So are those two contenders there?
No, I'm afraid you have to go the opposite direction on this.
Oh, interesting. Okay, then I don't have a guess for that. Okay, that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And I think we have a couple of lines open. If you'd like to give us a call, those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And Daryl, your turn. Go ahead.
I'll give you a language and a year that a famous novel came out. These novels are some of the best selling of all time in their originally published languages. I'm guessing you've heard of all of them. They've all been made into films. I have four for you. German, 1979. Italian, 1980. Spanish, 1982. And Swedish, 2005. These are some of the best-selling novels of all time. They were all made into movies. German, 1979. Italian, 1980, Spanish, 1982, Swedish, 2005.
I think I can do Swedish, 2005. I think that's the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah. Exactly right. Stieg Larsson. Very good. Yes.
Yeah, that was the only one I knew, too.
Oh, no.
That's okay. All these started out in those languages and then were translated into
other languages and then made into movies. Yes.
Okay. All right. All right, go down the list once more, please.
Sure. German, 1979. I read this when I was young. Italian, 1980. Spanish, 1982. And I'll give you a hint on that one. It's made into a 1993 Meryl Streep film.
Was the Italian one in The Name of the Rose?
It was The Name of the Rose.
Or The Name of the
Rose. Umberto Eco wrote that. Very good.
Yeah. Okay.
A 1993 Meryl Streep movie?
So the book came out in 1982. It was written in Spanish. The author lives in San Rafael today. She's still with us. And then the other one is German, 1979.
93 Streep. I thought that was like She-Devil years. Is She Devil like the most popular Spanish language novel?
This movie did not make a ton of money.
Yeah. Okay.
And the other ones once more?
German, 1979, Spanish, 1982. In those languages, they're some of the best-selling novels of all time in those original countries.
The German, is that the Tin Drum by any chance?
No, that's a good guess, but no.
Okay, move it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, it's Peter on Bernold.
Hi, Peter.
I'm afraid I'm not going to be very much help with answers today. I got one guess on the UNESCO sites. How about Mount Vernon?
No, but it does have something to do with the Founding Fathers. So,
okay. I do have a question.
Yes.
Which county in the U.S. has the greatest biodiversity? And if you don't know the county, you can give me the name of the biggest city in that county.
So which county in the United States has the biggest biodiversity? How are they measuring that? If you can break it down.
By number of species.
Okay. Would this be a sparsely populated county?
No.
No.
What about you said nearby city. What about like Miami then?
No. Okay. Good guess, but no.
So was Kira right in the sense that it's a warmer climate?
Well, I was thinking mostly like Everglades plus insects.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many insect species that I would think that the answer would have a lot of insects. Is that incorrect?
I'm sure they have lots of insects, but not Everglades, farther west.
Further west.
And in
is fact, it in Hawaii?
No, too far west.
All right.
So then it has to be a fairly wet climate if they were going to have something like that. So say Louisiana, is that any?
Further west. No,
further west.
They don't have counties.
Oh, that's true. Texas.
Keep going west.
Still west, Arizona?
Keep going west.
Okay, so are we in California? Is it somewhere in the state?
Yes.
All right. Where in this state do we have the most biodiversity?
San Bernardino.
That's big.
You're closer, but that's not it.
So is it on the coast?
It is.
San Luis Obispo.
The county name and the name of the largest city are the same.
Santa Barbara?
No. Farther south.
San Diego.
You got it.
There were so many guesses.
Yeah.
Who knew in California, right?
Yeah.
That's it for me. Happy birthday, Dana.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I hope you're enjoying the show. You can give us a quick call if you like. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. We have some emails here. Patricia was wondering if the German book and film is The Tin Drum, just like I was, but apparently it wasn't. CM was wondering if the German was 1979 was Das Boot.
No, sorry.
Okay. I'm not sure that was a book? That might have been a book.
Das Boot.
Rose was wondering if the pornographic book by Ogred Weary is The Curious Sofa.
Yes. The Curious Sofa.
I'm not familiar with that. The Curious Sofa. All right.
I'm sorry, who was that? Who came up with that?
J.D. Vance, I think.
Yes, Rose.
Rose. Nice job, Rose.
Okay. And Deborah and Zach, let's see. Yes, both had N is for Neville, who died from ennui. Is that correct?
They are correct. I'm sorry, I missed who that was. Who got that?
That was Deborah and Zach.
Deborah and Zach, thank you for knowing that. Neville had the best death of
and
all
Ellen
the Gashly Crumb
well.
Tinies.
Yeah. All right, there we go. Okay, and Thomas actually had the name of the other John Wayne movie that had his first and last name in the title, and that's Big Jim McLean. Big Jim McLean, I think it's 1952. Okay, very well done. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello from Tulsa.
Hi.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
I was calling in on the Jim McLean, but I'll try for one more. When you believe, the only reason I know this is it was a Val Kilmer doing the voice. So was it Prince of Egypt?
No, you're on the right track, but no, that was not the Prince of Egypt, no.
Was it the Batman guy? No, but anyway, I've got a couple of questions.
All right.
Film director Robert Wise was no stranger to making very successful movies and very expensive movies, Sound of Music, West Side Story, but Wise also in 1956 directed the most expensive film up to then for Warner Brothers. My question is, what movie did he direct in 1956 that was Warner Brothers' most expensive film up to 1956?
It's interesting. I know, he did Somebody Up There Likes Me, but that's not an expensive film. I mean, I don't think it was. 1956, you said.
I did.
While you're thinking there, Dana, Joe, you were right on Prince of Egypt. I was looking at the wrong line for these movies. So, yeah, you had Prince of Egypt correct. Yes.
Oh, I the only reason I knew that is Val Kilmer was not one to usually did animated voices, but that is why, because I only saw the movie in Coming Attractions. I never actually saw the film, but I thought When You Believe was an Oscar-nominated film. Got a funny voice. Excuse me.
No, I don't know what the Robert Wise film is from 1956. There was, what is it, Joe?
Oh, you're not going to throw it out to the audience, or we don't have enough time?
Oh, we probably don't have enough time.
It was Helen of Troy.
Oh, okay.
And it was Warner's movie. I mean, even though it was made in partly, but it had an enormously great supporting cast and two unknowns. I mean, the two people were never heard of again, except for their own countries.
Yeah.
And they had to do their lines phonetically.
Rosanna Podesta or something. Was that who was in that? Something like that.
She was known in the Sex and Sandal movies, but it was Jacques Cernas. I won't take time now, but if you ever look at the supporting cast, is unbelievable as far as well-known American character actors. And it's not a bad movie visually. It got pretty well trashed in 56, but looking back on it now, it could stand with the Brad Pitt movie. Okay, one more question.
All right, go ahead, quick.
All right, I'm going to have to do this by memory. I had it written down, but I lost it.
Oh,
anyway,
good.
Harrison Ford, in his early years, between Star Wars and the first Indiana Jones movie, was in Europe making the sequel to The Guns of Navarro. And while he was in Europe, he was asked to be in a movie where he agreed to do it because after 10 movies, he had never been in a movie that had a real love scene. So he agreed to make this movie. He's never seen the movie, and he hated the movie. What was the name of the movie?
Is it Witness?
I beg your pardon?
Witness?
Yeah, that's like 86.
No,
Joe's talking about like somewhere in 78, 79.
Well, he agreed to make the movie. I didn't know when he actually made the movie. I mean, earlier would be the Mosquito Coast, but I don't recall like a love scene in that.
That's 89.
But after 10 movies.
Oh, no. Is it a World War II film?
It is.
Is it Hanover Street or Hanover? So something like that.
It is.
Okay.
It's good.
Very good, Dana.
And then I have a quickie, real quickie.
We're almost out of time, Joe. You better save it for next week.
Okay, I will. Good luck, and have a nice day, Dana.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And all right, yeah, time to wrap up here. Kira, what do we got?
Real quick, Daryl, was your German book The Never Ending Story?
It was. Michael Ende, very good.
That was my studio audience. And nice job on that. All right. Edward Gorey won his Tony Award for Best Costume Design for Dracula. Gorey Mansion is on the set of Mystery, the television show. Asexual pride flag from top to bottom, black, gray, white, purple. And Gorey's middle name, which is the English version of a U.S. territorial capital, is St. John, as in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Daryl?
I should have had Mystery there. Okay, the Writings on the Wall from 10 years ago, that was Sam Smith for Spectre. He won an Oscar for that. And in 1982, Isabella Allende wrote The House of the Spirits. She lives in San Rafael now, and that was made into a Meryl Streep film.
All right. What five countries are expected to contribute more than 60% of the world's population growth by the year 2100? That would be the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Ethiopia, Nigeria, Pakistan, and Tanzania. The last on the UNESCO World Heritage Sites buildings in the United States is Monticello and the University of Virginia. And I think, did I get everything there? I think I did. Okay. All right. Yes, that's it. All right. If we didn't get your call, I do apologize. I also apologize for our little mix up at the beginning of the show. Thank you for sticking with us. Appreciate that very much. Thanks to our panel today. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Daryl Garrison, Brentwood Realtor. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Damian D. Miner for having the board and phones. And above all, thanks to you for taking the tune in and call in. We appreciate it.